Hello and welcome to episode 20 of Security Nation. Yeah, that's right, 2-0. They said we wouldn't last. This is Kyle Flaherty, the host of Security Nation, and you're about to hear from two old friends of the podcast. They haven't been on for a few months, probably early last fall, Eric's son and Matt Hathaway. The reason I brought him on was at the end of last year, Gartner actually published their market guide for the user and entity behavior analytics, UEBA, also known as UBA, also known as there's SUBA, SOABA, you name it. People have talked about it. And like that, we wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about the market guide, how the vendors get broken out, why and what is important to think about from your perspective, where you are as a security team, where you are in terms of your company, like all the different things that you're looking for. But it quickly kind of went in the direction of the evolution around SIEM, EDR, and UBA, and how, you know, how important endpoint is, how important log is, how important analytics are, all of that different kinds of things. So as usual, when I have these two on, it really went in a bunch of different directions, which is why I love to have them on and why I think they're fantastic guests. And we'd love to hear from you guys as well. Definitely hashtag Security Nation back to myself at Kyle Flaherty on Twitter, or hit me up on any sort of other mediums. We love to hear from people overall, and we have a whole bunch of podcasts actually coming up with security practitioners who are out there talking about the sustainability of security. I'm going to be talking to more pen testers. We got some great reactions to when Bo Weaver was on right before the new year. So we're going to have a lot of those folks kind of who are in the trenches just like you and telling their stories, both good and bad. So enjoy episode 20 of Security Nation.
You're listening to Security Nation with host Kyle Flaherty.
Yeah, I made fun of him for it, so it's
you shouldn't.
Shusher.
You shouldn't make fun of your friends. All right, because we're recording already.
Okay.
Because you know I love pressing record.
You
like
to do the intro
way before.
Later.
I will do the intro later, right. But now before.
But he'll still keep.
So now
that.
we're revealing a little bit of the magic that is the Security Nation podcast, the first one of 2017. So that's exciting,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and tomorrow I have a great one coming up with Jack Voth of Elginol. So depending on when people are listening to this, we got a customer going to talk about sustainability of security. Speaking of sustainability of security, not really, but
really?
Yeah,
was,
it's not
that
really.
Was an interesting segue.
Lost in the midst of everyone's end of year and holidays and all of this stuff, Gartner published their most recent UEBA, and we're going to talk about what that means. Market guide. It's not a magic quadrant. It's a market guide. We could talk about all that stuff for those that are interested, but it is a space that's important. So I guess what I'd say first, especially for the listeners who might not know what these acronyms mean, what, and Eric, I'll have you kind of start us off. UBA, UEBA, what do they mean? Is it the same thing? Is it...
SUBA.
Right, SUBA, right. I mean, there's all... SOPA. Isn't there SOPA now?
That's another one.
All right.
Yeah. And then there's
slightly
like
UNBA. So let's just focus, though, on the UBA, UEBA. What does it mean? Are they different?
Sure. So to kick things off, user behavior analytics, user and entity behavior analytics. And so it's a type of security technology that's revolved around finding the use of, say, a compromised user. So the idea is that a top attack vector behind breaches is the use of stolen passwords. Mm-hmm. They could be weak, they could be default, they could be stolen via a variety of methods, but being able to reliably detect that is super challenging. You know, antivirus, firewall solutions, endpoint, it's hard to really detect if somebody's using another person's password. And so user behavior analytics first came out as a response to detecting those types of attacks.
Right. And so the entity part of it, mm-hmm. not to put a too fine, and you know, I apologize to any of our colleagues at Gartner, but it's kind of the same thing, and people are calling it different things.
I mean, I'll claim some guilt there.
Sure.
We were
for the record,
yeah,
Matt Hathaway.
For the record, Matt Hathaway.
Let's just get that on the record.
Yeah, just at that time, of course. We were talking regularly with Gartner when they started doing UBA research and started and did their initial guide. I forget what the first report was, whether it was a guide or a trend or what.
Yeah.
But when it first came out, it was just called UBA. And we pushed heavily for the importance of endpoint data in that, and that you couldn't see lateral movement and a lot of these different behaviors and understand really what's normal and who's using other accounts in a good way for IT, and establish that without having the endpoint data. And so between us and other vendors in the UBA space pushing and saying it's not just the user,
right.
they didn't want to say endpoint because there's other people have a different approach, and so they turned it into this term entity, making a difficult acronym, but we didn't realize what we were doing, I guess.
So there's two questions then that kind of pop into my head as you just said that. The first, though, is around endpoint and the importance of that. And we hear about it. I mean, there's a magic quadrant for EDR, right? Endpoint detection and response. So we can do a whole nother series of podcasts on that. We probably will. Stay tuned. How critical is endpoint, in your opinion? Obviously, we are biased, but how critical is endpoint to actual true UBA and the ability to do what we think UBA should do?
So they're certainly intertwined. Okay. Users use endpoints every day. And so as they jump across perhaps cloud services or they work across the globe, maybe they're in a coffee shop, they're moving around, it's very important to have endpoint visibility, because if you're only looking at network activity, then you're missing every time that person is outside of the office. And now it extends to mobile devices, things like Office 365. So it's important to have that full coverage.
Right. Yeah, and I think we've talked about, I think it was the one when Jen and I and you, I'm pointing at Matt, you can't see that on a podcast.
Oh.
Until we have that technology. I think it's called video. Ooh. But they we talked about the whole definition of endpoint and how that's changing as well. Because if you ask a lot of our questions, our customers, you know, even a server is an endpoint in a lot of ways to them, right? And so I think that's kind of critical.
But even in some of the places you thought, people thought and where UBA solutions started, even we did the first, at the first launch, didn't include, you know, endpoint scans or any way to see the activity on the endpoints. You can only get so much, and even just something as basic as authentications, where you think, everything's in Active Directory, everything's logged there. Some percentage of it is logged there. You need to get on the endpoint some way to access it, forward it, something,
right,
to see more depth and where did this authentication that we know about, where did it originate?
Right.
Oh, only the logs in the endpoint tell you that. So
and you're now talking about more of the investigation part.
No, that's even for detection, to like build a map of who accesses which system and from where. Like, I am one of five people who can access the financial share.
Ah, right.
And I typically do. Fine. But then all of a sudden I come from a new laptop. You might want to you want to know about that. Like, did somebody steal my credentials? Is this somebody inside that I lent them to and were violating policy? All of these kind of, you need the endpoint data, even for something that basic.
Right. So the other thing that you mentioned when you were first talking, Matt, was just vendors in general and how this space has blown up. And having been in this space as well before Rapid7, it's pretty amazing to see it. So it's kind of a two-part question. The first is what Gartner in the market guide talks about in terms of portal fatigue.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to spend some time on that. And then I want to come back a little bit and talk about how they break up the vendors, because I think it's important. And this is, like, anyone who's ever listened to this podcast knows this isn't going to be about who's better and who's not. Like, I want to actually understand a little bit more, especially from you guys, the standalone versus the kind of the augmentative players, if you will. So we'll put that on the side burner. But the first thing is this concept of portal fatigue. And I just think it's funny because we, for so long, and you were joking about it earlier in a meeting we were in, of just that one pane of glass and all this stuff. And not only did that not come true, the opposite came true. We're opening up all these different kind of portals. Why do you think that this got mentioned so prominently in this market guide?
I mean, I think the two questions are completely related.
Okay.
The the most common of the UBA solutions out there is the one that's augmentative only. There's no option, right? Like, you can have solutions that can be standalone or augment and take data from a SIM, but a lot of them, most of them started just querying the SIM directly and not sending back enough context because of limitations of SIM, them wanting to have some competitive differentiator, multiple reasons they think UX is important. That's what the UBA solution had. All these reasons, you were in your SIM and building rules, maintaining, doing most of your investigation there, looking at firewall activity, things like that. UBA solutions giving you alerts and detecting anomalous activity, and you're logging in there, and some and lots of times you're like, oh, this is what the alert was, and then go back to the SIM, and then go log into the firewall, and then the IDS. And so it's like this portal fatigue was like the fact that if you only build it in an augment version, then you have 4, 5, 6 systems that don't give enough, like it gets watered down. Mm-hmm. Like you can send data back in, but it's so watered down that you still, I want to go deeper and you got to switch to that. And then log into your endpoint detection system and what did this find? What are the traits? Let me query that endpoint and get that data. Mm-hmm. So it's like 5 portals. You got all these screens in front of you and we all have seen those ideal SOC with so many big screens and dashboards.
It looks cool.
It looks cool.
Right.
I think to Matt's point, definitely the whole user behavior analytics stemmed from a lot of pain with SIM solutions.
Right.
So SIM solutions really great at ingesting all even kinds of data.
Gartner is acknowledging, like, yeah. That's something that I think most people, I hope, are nodding their heads at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so, I mean, even today, typical SIM solutions, they now offer some kind of user behavior analytics capabilities as standard, you know, for it. Right. So I think stemming from that pain, it's important that, yeah, people were spending too much time crafting alerts. They wanted to just figure out what one person did over the course of a day and having to manually either dig through log files or jump through different tools. UBA definitely the first step in reducing that portal fatigue.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we saw that a little bit. You guys kind of are talking about this whole concept of the SIM, and we're going to get to another Gartner analyst, Anton Chavakin, who had a blog post last Friday, I believe, of why SIMs fucked up app log analysis. That may be the first F word that's been said on the podcast. So I'm not sure.
And
we'll
you
see.
Stole it? You
we'll,
stole it.
We'll see.
Not even for a guest.
We'll see. Yeah. But we're going to come back around because I thought, and by the way, in his blog post, he did censor himself. So let's, you know, but.
So you stand out.
So, right, exactly. But that gets me to that second part of the question of, you know, and you kind of just talked about it, Eric. They talk about standalone. They talk, like, so they actually segment the different vendors, which I thought was really interesting. So fine, like we can agree or disagree, or we could talk about, here's what I'd rather talk about based on the people who actually listen to the podcast, and it's not just my family. It's other people, I think. How should I read the, like, how do I know what to get out of that? How do I make it useful for myself? You know, and that's what I would ask. I'll start with you.
Sure. I think a big question is, what constraints are you working under currently? Do you have a large team?
Right.
Do you have the bandwidth? Are you getting a lot of alerts today?
Right.
So I think there's really, I'd say, two large buckets. One are those startups that are using user behavior analytics. And in the past, they would directly hook into an existing SIM.
Right.
And then over time, we found now they've grown and they can now ingest data directly. So that's one approach. And then the other is something that augments what you have already. So something like an add-on to an existing SIM, that kind of thing.
Right. And is it purely, to lack of a better word, the maturity of the organization? Are there other considerations that you should make? Because it's not just the size of the team. That's a that's a huge indicator, as we know. If it's just me,
you don't want to.
Right, yeah. I might not even want one.
Yeah, I think it's...
But I know I need to do something. I mean, are there other things that you...
I think it's like three factors from what we hear from the analysts. It's A, maturity team, how many people on it. Can they, can they manage that many different portals and that many places of data collection? The next one is, are they really just fed up with their SIM?
Mm-hmm.
Some people have got the their SIEM to the place they want it.
Right.
And they don't think they're gonna, it's going to be able to do this, and so they augment with UBA, and mm-hmm. both are working well together. And then the latter is more like, how comfortable are they at doing things themselves, just scripting and whatever, and the data collection piece itself is like, how automated is data collection? Is it something that they have down with their SIEM, or they want a better way, or whatever? But like, all these factors seem to come into play with, I know how to make that thing really work with my existing SIEM, so mm-hmm. I just want to, what I already have in there, I'll just forward, and then we'll augment just data collection, and maybe spend all our time in UBA,
right.
But still, like, don't need to reinvent the SIEM data collection side, get the permissions from IT, the new passwords, mm-hmm. the new forwarding, stuff like that.
So soon after the market guide was published in December, maybe it was right before, but I think it was after. This is becoming a Gartner dominant show, but that is the theme, I guess. Aviva had a blog post about I'm paraphrasing, and I might be getting it a little bit wrong, but kind of the future of UEBA.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Right. So the buzzwords that we've thrown around already, EDR, SIEM, UBA, UEBA, SOPA, all the different ones that are out there. I'm sure we could think of more. But
IPA is definitely Nate's favorite.
Inside IPA, right. By the way, now that that's, we trademarked it now. So we own it, Nate. Okay. Sorry. This is the test. All right. So if Nate actually listens.
Inside IPA.
Yeah, but he's not on Twitter, so it doesn't matter.
He'll have to everybody else.
Let's put something on that Snapchat.
Tweet. This is a direct shout out, though.
This is a direct shout out. But is he listening?
Yeah.
That's going to be the big one. Right. So this will be the test. I'm just going to be sitting here waiting, like every stand up. Where is it going? Because, I know even Anton said, UBA was kind of looked at as SIEM 2.0, but didn't really, get there. And now they're kind of classifying all the vendors and all. Like, you guys are out there a lot. If you were going to write a blog post, you probably already have. Where are we going?
As a company, we made the bet that they're converging, mm-hmm. right? Like, the acquisition of Log Entries was like, hey, we need to merge the UBA technology with the SIEM features and continue to expand, and this is going to become one.
Right.
They're all going to come together in some way, whether it's integration.
Endpoint technology as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All of this needs to come together to be like focused on the use case, not on the collection type.
Yeah.
Right. It's not just all collecting logs here, looking at endpoints there,
right.
Searching for anomalies here. It all needs to come together and collect it, and then figure out how to do the analytics on each piece and what's warrants an alert, what doesn't, and then put a usability front on it and have that kind of high-level dashboard and ability to create your own dashboards and things like that cover the SIEM and the detection mm-hmm. Use cases.
And we've already seen SIEM vendors buy UBA.
Yep.
I guess you would almost say Rapid7 was a UBA vendor who bought a log management,
right.
At least a big chunk of that SIEM technology, which is kind of interesting. Is EDR going to jump in? Like, how does that all play out?
I think that's next.
Right.
And so certainly, just to close the loop on the SIEM UBA,
yeah.
It's troublesome to have two separate vendors.
Of course.
If you have a UBA solution, it's giving you great alerts, but then you're popping into the SIEM for investigations. Even if it's a very seamless transition, it's still portals you have to jump through. And so I think the next iteration is incorporating that endpoint data. And so something we find from our security operations center, pen testers, endpoint data, of course, very valuable.
Right.
And so if you can collect that with the same type of comprehensiveness as like a SIEM for standard sources of data, you can have a much quicker, complete investigation experience.
So I guess, and maybe it's shooting ourselves in the foot here, that market guide, again, I guess I'll go back to like, what can I take out of it? If everything's going to converge, then, and I have to read in between the lines of this market guide, and I see these all the time, what's in it that really stands out to you guys as a, kind of a forefront of thinking and something I should take as I build this out?
Well, I think one observation, at least for the current UBA market, is that some vendors focus more on the insider threat use case, and that's more of like a negligent inside person that's causing trouble, as opposed to the compromised user, somebody is impersonating as an employee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so depending on your company needs, your business needs, what you're prioritizing, you could, you know, that's one way to look at the different vendors.
Okay. And I think that actually gets a little confusing too. Like, yeah. Inside a threat, there's two parts of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just being stupid.
Right.
And that, or, that is like, but that becomes
or
like,
you're being malicious because you just got fired. Or like, there could be, or I hate
but
the
those
company
are two halves,
or
right?
whatever.
There's the malicious insider, sure. And then there's the negligent insider.
Yeah.
I would say that if you're looking for compromised users, you don't care if it's next outsider or insider. Mm-hmm. Either way, you want to detect compromised users. Mm-hmm. But like the negligent and, hey, these two people have the job same job title and different permissions on different right. systems, that's more of a kind of an IAM approach that some people are looking at.
Right.
Like some of the UBA vendors are focusing more on helping you clean up your permissions and make sure you can limit and be better at your least privilege model. And that is like kind of the division that we're seeing, the bifurcation toward this one or that one. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's what you're focusing on, who right. you're trying to solve it for, right? Mm-hmm. Like we focused on the detection and the teams that do that. There are others that are doing it for IAM, and that's right. a totally different end user.
Right, and that gets melded into this market guide too. So I think it can be, I guess, or it goes back to your point of like, if you're actually looking for IAM stuff, then mm-hmm. there's some really great, you know, and that's not a focus for us necessarily, but it's right. a pure focus for some mm-hmm. people. So if that's exactly what you're looking for, and you're okay with portal fatigue there, mm-hmm. then maybe you're okay, you know, like, yeah. and it wouldn't maybe even be fatigue because you might only log into that.
Well, and it's not a detection, right?
Every
it's
once
a,
in a while, right? You're not responding
it's a
to something.
Grooming and
right.
health and making yeah. sure you protect your ahead of the breach or compromise.
Right, exactly.
So fatigue is
it's a hygiene thing, right? thing.
This isn't like, hey, I have an hour to figure out what just happened.
Yeah.
I don't want to log into six different places.
Okay, so I knew I'd find an in. This is perfect.
Wonderful transition.
Back to Anton's post. I won't say the F word again because you're only allowed to say it once on podcasts.
Mm. Is this a per person rule?
It's a per. It is. Okay. So he talked a lot. Like he just asked the question, but Matt, you actually left a comment to his blog post, really talking about the fact that DevOps folks couldn't wait the 20 minutes for a sim to like crunch the numbers. So it was really about time, right? Time mm-hmm. to value, whatever you want it like. Whatever marketing BS you want to kind of wrap around it, I would say time to value. But it just brings back, you just said, you know, waiting an hour or whatnot. Sometimes it's okay to do that. Sometimes it's not. Did UBA kind of, has that helped kind of make time more important in a lot of ways? Like, or, you know, not even UBA, detection, mm-hmm. the need for detection. We are now at this moment where it's like, real time and they're live and all that kind of stuff.
I had parentheses. I said near.
Right.
I made sure.
And we all see the FUD that some folks put out there. But it's important. Like if I get an alert, I need to go and see what's going on right now. So is that one of the major foundational evolutions of this new whatever you want to call it, Sim 2.0, next gen Sim, blah 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 blah.
3.0.
Is it? We've skipped. We've just gone. 4. Let's go. 4.0. Ooh, yeah. Actually, I want to combine Sim and UBA and call it Simba.
Perfect.
And do something with the Lion King.
Approved.
Yeah. Okay. Approved. Thank you. I was about to start singing Circle of Life, but I won't. Hashtag Circle of Life.
Oh, not a win away.
So, but no, like time. Like I feel like time was one of the big things. It's less. I don't know. I feel like it's less about portal fatigue sometimes, and it's more about just like watching that hourglass or the circle or something like that just churn when I just want to get my work done.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Silence.
No, it's...
Silence. Do you want to pick up the mic and just drop it?
Yeah.
Right.
No. I mean, it was something that we heard, and in a totally different use case, that's where it came up, right, with DevOps. And
right.
They 20 minutes offline that they didn't know for 20 minutes, they'd lose a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, detection, of course, you're never going to, you got to validate the the lead and figure out, is this alert real? Is it a false positive? It's still not going to be a truly, like, we know in a split second.
Yeah, of course.
But the sooner you can get that alert and be and start digging into it, the better. And so I think a lot of UBA vendors...
And not feel as if you're waiting.
Right.
Like, I do think there's a big human element to that. Like, and I sometimes think in our industry we... And we can talk about, like, automation and all of that kind of stuff and how dangerous that truly is in some ways. But I feel like from a human interaction standpoint with a solution, I know for me in my life, it's like if I have to wait, and at this point we've become absurd, right? If I have to wait 30 seconds, we've all been there where our computer's frozen and it's literally like our world is stopped.
It feels like forever, like 20 minutes.
So imagine during an investigation
of Windows 10.
After an alert, like... That's
I can't imagine. I picture this guy getting an email alert from his UBA solution and being like, oh, this looks really bad.
Yeah.
And just, okay, I'll investigate it in my sim once it's done indexing everything. 30 minutes later, like sitting there, like freaking out, log in and be like, oh, it was nothing.
It was nothing, right.
And be like, that's 30 minutes, like high stress. Like this guy needs... Yep. He needs to just go.
Yeah, because we used to talk about
go yelling out the window or something.
You know, no matter what, if you fail in an investigation, it's fine as long as you fail fast, and you do it quickly. That's okay.
Yeah.
But as soon as you hit that feeling of why even investigate things, because it's going to take too long and it probably isn't that big a deal, that's when the wolf is in the sheep's clothing, and I think we get into a lot of trouble.
I think it's also how things get lost too, right?
Like, sure.
The reality is they're not just sitting there for 30 minutes looking at a blank screen because they know it's going to take 30 minutes,
yeah,
right?
So they go, they're doing something else.
And they're like, oh, I should really go back and, and check if that how that turned out.
Yeah. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're onto something else at that point.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting.
I do think another metric to look at least how UBA has helped, is in terms of getting detections earlier in that so-called attack chain.
Yeah.
So in the past, you know, a lot of SIM solutions, they'll alert you when a critical asset's breached. That's fine and dandy, but that means that there's already been lateral movement. Mm-hmm. There's already been use of, you know, stolen credential, that kind of thing. So with UBA being able to detect earlier, you actually do have extra time before the attacker reaches critical assets.
Right.
I actually think that's an interesting way to split up the vendors out there. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, Gartner's not listening to me, but... Like
maybe they are.
Okay.
hey, Anton.
they actually have, you know, there are vendors there that are focused on exfiltration, and it's a serious problem, and it's something you can use, you know, trend analysis and looking at what's unusual to find. That's very much, that's the end of the attack chain. Like, you've already lost your critical data. Your breach is real. Whereas the vendors that focus on, you know, the... Like ourselves, we try and go as early as possible. Like, does this look like somebody's visiting and, like, clicking on a phishing link? Does this look like somebody is giving up their credentials and that they're being used from system to system, testing creds, exploring the network, seeing if they can spin up Responder and just catch some creds thrown their way?
Yeah.
Any of those, like, early in the cycle, that's two different solutions. They can complement each other, right? Like, you get something out there that's focused on exfiltration. All right. That might be your last, that's your last defense, but still, you want to know when it happens.
Right.
So it would be interesting to say, like, hey, UBA isn't this simple. They're not all the same thing. They all focus on different use cases.
Yeah, and they're both levels of time, right? It's finding it earlier in the chain, but also it's minimizing the time of the investigation.
Yeah. I like to say we're trying to avoid that oh shit moment that they get. But...
Right. I mean, that would be, that's the benefit, right? And that's one... And we've talked endlessly about that, of just the move from prevention to detection, blah, blah, blah. but it's how good is your detection. And the fact that to truly do detection, it sounds like what you guys are saying is you really need SIM plus endpoint to get to detection.
That is exactly.
You need comprehensive data collection, that's for sure.
Right. But, okay. That's great, but I don't want to, you know, to paraphrase my old CTO, you know, I don't need a data, you know, dump.
Is this the one that said SISO?
Data. Yes, it is. Jim, I hope you're listening. it's CISO. I said it, right?
You did!
I did! Yay!
Perfect.
Pew!
Oh.
So, I know, it's not even the end of the pod yet, but really, it should have been 10 minutes ago. I lost my...
What did you see?
So you talk about, like, Yeah, great. That sounds great. Like, give me all the data. But that's not what we mean by comprehensive data collection.
Well, I think that's the real
challenge.
It's the
context and the connections between the data that matter the most.
And I always like to say how people operating a SIEM as an incident responder, they have two really big tasks. One is the data manipulation, like getting the tool to give them the information they need.
Right.
And then the second is like experience of knowing what to look for or having experience with the investigation. And those are basically the hottest jobs on the market, data scientists, incident responder.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's super hard to do.
Yep.
And so, yes, comprehensive data collection foundation, but there's still a lot more that's needed to make it easier.
Well, that's what
and SIEM got into that trap, right? Like they collected the data. Mm-hmm. It was hard. It was it wasn't easy, but it was also.
But then
20 years ago,
you can build the analysis on yourself, right? And that's what is common across all UBA solutions is they're trying to point to you where to look.
Yeah,
and the SIEM never did that.
Mm-hmm.
SIEM was like, once you know what you're looking for, we got it.
Come to you. Right.
Yeah, and everybody else, and we're all like, okay,
is still
but,
true,
but we still don't know,
right?
And so that's what UBA is, these various approaches to try and say, this is unusual, go check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, every year is fascinating in this industry. It feels like this one in particular will be, especially as we're on the precipice of another RSA, and I'm sure we'll do, in fact, I'd love to do a live.
You think people mention UBA at RSA?
Well, we've noticed over time, right? Like, for 5 years ago, 7 years ago, it was all security analytics. Then it was user behavior analytics. Yeah. And then, not that I never saw anyone jump on UEBA or anything like that, but I'm sure it was in their materials.
My money's on deep learning this year as the buzzword.
Really?
Buzz deep
we should actually do a like a contest.
Yeah, we should all
How
guess.
Do we do this? All right, we got to figure this out. People need to get us some ideas here.
They need to know how we differentiate what was the buzz topic or phrase.
Yeah, because, and we were looking at...
Everybody guesses, maybe we have a contest.
Right, that's what I want.
Yeah.
We just got to figure out how to measure it.
Hashtag.
Like, how do you... Oh, by tweet volume of the keyword? Or the...
It could be whoever's closest,
the term?
Too.
All right, we need to
hashtag
do some...
Hashtag RSA FUD.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
All right, there's been a lot of hashtags in this one, but that's all right. We know Nate Palinov's not listening.
Yeah, so nobody's doing inside IPA.
Right, so no one's doing that. IPA.
IPA.
Oh, nice job. That's not good for you. Oh, that's it. Oh, the end of his career. We knew it would happen on the podcast. We just didn't know how it would happen. All right, awesome.
You can't say IPA with a straight face.
Exactly. No one can, unless it's Nate. So, all right, excellent. If you want more information, obviously, on the UEBA Market Guide, I know we have a bunch of stuff. Eric's blogged about it. You've probably blogged about it, Matt. It's up there. So, read it for yourself. I think it is helpful, especially, I think, with some of the key points that you guys both made on the podcast. So, until next time.
Pew, pew.
There it is. That
was
fantastic.
Pleasure.
That was great. It has been a pleasure.
Later.